Freeman.
Fire those cannons!
Brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, working together to improve the health of our community.
Freeman goes deep downfield for Williams. It is caught by Mike Williams to the 20, 15, 10, 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Remarkable catch.
Now your host, Steve Dumick, and number 5, Josh Freeman.
Needless to say, we need to hear a little bit more of that, but we bring in the quarterback for your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Josh Freeman, as he joins us each and every Tuesday. You settled into the pocket there, Josh?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Just finished up some Arizona film study and first installment of the game plan, and now it's time for the show.
First installment of the game plan is Tuesday. Isn't this your off day normally?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's player's day off, but...
I don't know. The last time I talked to you, were there at 7 a.m. and on a Tuesday, right?
Yeah, we're working. You know, the result we've been getting on Sundays it's unacceptable, and trying to find a way to, you know, any way to get this thing rolling.
Was it frustrating not getting up on New England early on Sunday? You were dominating that team on Sunday, and was it frustrating not being able to get it into the end zone? No question.
Because, I mean, it's just a fraction off, you know, from going in and having it be a 14-point first quarter. But you know, that's something that we're working on addressing right now. You know, figuring out a way to end the drives and touchdowns instead of field goals and field goal attempts.
You had some new guys in there, Josh, and we'll get into that later. But I mean, and I think Coach Schiano, with his press conference on Monday, was basically trying to tell the media that there's 10 other players on this team. It's not just Josh's percentage in throws. It's 10 other guys that have to do their job. When Vincent went down, and Mike, it looked to me like Mike Williams definitely was the game plan there, because they were going to take away Vincent Jackson, because Belichick always takes somebody away. When he got hobbled, when Vincent went down, some of the players, and I'm not going to make you throw them under the bus, but these are guys that are not familiar with the exact routes that have to be run all the time. And you said fingertip things. So sometimes these things are just from not getting enough practice time with them sometimes?
Yeah, during a game week in practice, you only get to run certain plays that are going to be in the game plan a couple times, you know, mm-hmm. maybe once, maybe twice, maybe once in routes if you're there. But and you got guys that come in that I've really, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of experience throwing to Paige,
right.
You know, I thought he came out and played a great game for what it was. You know, Timmy Wright, another young guy. But yeah, they're and that's the way it goes. You know, they're young guys that that at times we're going to need to step up, and you know, I think those guys are fully capable of it.
Is that what Schiano meant by schematically? That's what there was some problems schematically, which is, and in the details of the game when he went over it with the media on Monday, that it was problems schematically, routes, maybe certain depths when Vincent runs a route, certain depths when Mike runs a route, certain depths. And angles of wide receivers, which is where you're geared to throw it, correct? Schematically.
Yeah, and it's
and if they don't get there on that angle, it's a little different.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, we're gonna work really hard to make sure everybody is on it. You know, there's a big difference if somebody runs a route at 16 yards versus 18 yards on the sideline, and if you're throwing the ball, anticipating them to get to 18, and they stop at 16, and then there's a lot that goes on, you know, there really mm-hmm. is, and we just got to be more detail oriented.
Yeah, I'm not trying to make excuses for you, but you know, this was supposedly your second year in the offense, which it is, and you have not had the problems with your two wideouts. The problems have been so anybody that comes in to replace them, because that's their first year in the offense.
Yeah, I mean, this offense, it's an offense that, I mean, takes a little time. You know, guys really have to get in, study the film. These routes that have different variations, options versus different looks, and a lot of times conversions where it requires a receiver to be heads up and see the safeties, see what the shell of the coverage is.
Well, I mean, they waived a tight end today. I got to ask you, how hard is it not having the tight ends in your offense to go to? Last year you had Dallas Clark. You had Tequan as a slot receiver. You really don't have that this year, and this is one of the questions the audience wanted asked the most. This was the majority question of the audience tweeting it into me or whatever, is that you really haven't had the tight end to go to in the middle of the field like a Dallas Clark had last year or a Tequan in the slot. How much has that hurt you as far as moving the offense a little bit?
Well, it's part of the game. It really is. Guys get hurt. You know, I feel for the guy, but Luke Stalker went to IR today. But you know, I really think we got a kid who's going to be great for us, and Timmy Wright. You know, he's a great physical guy. I mean, he's fast. You know, it's just a matter of getting him comfortable to a level that he can go out and play fluidly, not thinking. But no, I'm excited about him. You know, in the slot, I think, you know, obviously, Tequan, he was a good player for us last year. We got Ogletree this year. I think Ogletree's, you know, he's, like, I still feel great about the guy. He's awesome. You know, in practice, running routes this week.
This is one of the guys that is in the first year of this offense, right? So he may be running, he may be seeing things a little bit differently than you did. Where Tequan, and I'm not saying Tequan should be back here, but if he was in the second year, he'd know what you were thinking, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, with anything, the more familiarity you have with the receiver, the mm-hmm. better you're going to be on the same page and getting the ball out. But you know, I think Kevin's in fast learner. He's getting there. And you know, on Sunday when Vincent went down, a lot of Vincent's routes, Kevin had to be thrust from his normal spot and, you know, kind of had to compensate for Vincent not being out there.
And going out there, you know, they waived Noble today. And a lot of times you don't know this before I tell you, but they waived Noble, which is a pretty good sign that Crabtree's going to play. And everybody thinks, well, Josh has to know everything. Well, you don't normally. You're in your playbook. You're watching film and you don't know what goes on in the front office, but Noble was waived today, and Crabtree, you know, they're not saying anything, but it's a pretty good sign that Crabtree might play this weekend, which is the guy you worked with the entire offseason as far as your tight end is concerned.
Yeah, Tom, Tom's been extremely relentless in his rehabilitation, and, you know, it's always tough. You put in so much work in the offseason, and then have an injury that early on, but mm-hmm. I mean, Tom's kept his spirits up. You know, he's stayed locked in on meetings, locked in on the offensive plan, and yeah, just hoping he's physically prepared to go. But I always say, Todd Torricelli and our training staff, they do an amazing job of getting guys ready to go.
Yeah, well, let's hope. I mean, because I think personally that it shows glaringly that the tight end position needs to be used, and this is why they brought Crabtree in here. When you worked with him in the offseason, Josh, or not the offseason, but in training camp, and you know, you're not going to give away plays or anything, but there was, I mean, that's why he was brought in. He's a playmaking tight end that can catch. He hasn't caught a lot of passes, but if you're in that Green Bay offense, basically played a little bit more than Jermichael Finley did last year. He's the guy that you go to. That was the go-to guy for Aaron Rodgers. Had to be part of the big time game plan before he got hurt, and what maybe you've been missing a little bit for these first three games, and it is part of the game, but it's not the guy that the Bucs were counting on to be in there as a starter.
Yeah, anytime, and you look at Tom. I mean, he's it was funny. We were before the season, we were watching clips just of different guys and trying to get a feel on some of our new personnel, and Coach McNulty pulled up a clip of Tom just catching a ball on Arizona and going 80, you know, right down the middle. And, I mean, it 80 yards took a little while, but, you know, he got there. But he's, yeah, I mean, Tom brings it all. You know, he's does a great job in the run game. And then, I mean, poses an equal threat in the pass game. He's able to get off, beat man-to-man coverage, and he's got some great hands.
Are you happy with your numbers?
No, I'm never. You know, I'm never happy.
You
with
have
my
to
numbers.
Be perfect. I know you. I gotta ask.
Yeah, no. You know, it's one of those things. It's funny because, you know, working as hard as I've ever worked, if not harder. You know, I just got to find a way on Sundays to, you know, to connect on some of these shots.
Well, a lot of them were deep balls, Josh. And when they look at the numbers, I wasn't here last week. I happened to look at the numbers. You had 13 dropbacks on third downs. Your smallest third down completion was 6 yards. Most of them were in the 8 to 10 yard range. Those aren't very completable by even Peyton Manning's in this league because they don't allow it. But then you look at your numbers, and the first thing that are in the papers, and I know you don't read the papers, is your completion percentage. But you threw a lot of deep balls last week, which you were the best at it in the league last year. This year, they're just, like you said, fingertips off. But, you know, looking at those numbers strictly from a completion standpoint doesn't tell the whole story, does it?
No, but it's,
life as a quarterback, though, isn't it?
Well, it's you know, the numbers are just black and white. You know, you look at anybody's numbers around the league, and you're going to base an assumption, which, you know, it's have you not been watching and not seen what that guy's done? You're not going to truly understand what his numbers reflect. But well, no, it's I definitely got to get it up.
All right. Well, all I know is you had a lot of first down running plays. You mixed it up a little bit this year this week. Was that part of the game plan? I mean, there was 13 straight first down running plays in 2 weeks ago. Now this week there was a little bit mixing it up. Were they noticing that it was becoming predictable on first down?
Our staff does an awesome job with self-scouting. And really trying to put themselves in the shoes of the opposition studying us throughout the week. And they try to match a bunch of routes off of that. Or, I mean, like you said, mix it up, run pass.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was self-scouting and I noticed it. All right, he is Josh Freeman. We'll come back with your phone calls. 990 in Hillsborough, Pinellas 461. They both end in 4620. Your chance to talk to the quarterback for the next 50 minutes. Here on the Buccaneer Radio Network. And don't forget, Buccaneers Total Access with Josh Freeman is brought to you by the Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, working together to improve the health of our community. All right. He is the quarterback, Josh Freeman, who sits in here each and every Tuesday from 6 until 7, taking your questions as well as mine. And I was going to ask this, but I'll give the privilege to Carlos. In Tampa, which we're all kind of excited about, and we'll get Josh's answer for this Carlos question. Good afternoon, Carlos.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks, guys, for having me on the show again, Steve. Josh, pleasure to speak to you again. My question is, with Jeff Demps getting back in the lineup here, how well do you see him progressing this week so far with the offense? Is it more specifically, without disclosing anything, is he just on special teams for now, getting acclimated to the offense, or are we going to maybe hope to see him in a couple offensive plays? And part two to that question is, how well do you think somebody can come in and be a good impact, a positive impact on the offense, being that they've only been back in football for about 2 weeks with missing training camp?
Oh, those are great questions. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as Demps goes, we haven't really practiced this week.
So, yet, right.
I mean,
yet.
I saw him, I think, last week. So, yeah. So, no, I think that he's, I think he's progressing really well. You know, the guy obviously has elite speed. And, you know, it shows. It shows out on the practice field. It shows when he's running scout team. But
I heard he ran Sproles better than Sproles. Right,
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, you don't work against the scout team, but
we're working.
Yeah, but that was the word that his scout work as Darren Sproles for the defense was better than Darren Sproles, faster than Darren Sproles.
I mean, like I said, he's an elite athlete, elite talent, and you know, it's going to be exciting seeing him out there Sunday. You know, not really sure as far as mixing him in, but I know he'll be happy, you know, getting the call up, getting in the mix. But as far as training camp is concerned, it's really being out of football that long, getting back in, he has an advantage a lot of guys don't. You know, I think it starts with his mind, his thought, where he is. I mean, he studies like crazy. He's always in here working. And then his athletic ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's, like I said, he's, it's.
He's an elite athlete.
It's startling. Yeah. Startling to watch sometimes when he takes off.
I've seen it and in person at the national championship game. And between he and Percy Harvin on that Florida team, it was unbelievable what Jeff Demps can do. And well, not Jeff, but not together. But when you get a world-class 100, you know, there's been a lot of players in this league. Joey Galloway was the same way. You threw to Joey Galloway. When he took the top off the defense, how good was that?
I actually never had the opportunity.
No?
Jeff Garcia.
That's right, Garcia. Garcia's
told me about it a few times.
But you didn't come in the second half of that year? No?
No.
My mistake.
One year off. I did actually bump into Joey, I believe, at the Daytona 500 one year.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, it's we'd pull up clips and watch the tape of him just even in a jog through, and then you'd see it on Sunday, and, man, Jeff would whip his head around and just throw
to me, it just seems that there's so much that you can and you're not giving anything away. It seems to me that a guy with that kind of elite speed, we saw what Minnesota was doing with Percy Harvin, either out of the backfield. They list him as a running back, but there's so many things that Jeff Demps could do at the University of Florida. There's also what he can do out of the running back position. There's so much that they can take that speed and utilize it in this offense as he continues to grow with it. I mean, this has got to be exciting from your standpoint.
Oh.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, I'm not really sure how we're going to use him. And like, it might just be special teams, might get him mixed in offense. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, but yeah, I know it's
well, just put yourself imagining,
yeah,
elite speed, what you could do as a quarterback with what you could do with that speed, as not you personally, but what it would be like to have somebody in. If you were to draw up a playbook, so I'm sure you would put him in a lot of different things as far as your own mind as a playbook with top end speed like that, that there's nobody in this league that can catch him.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, you could design some play. You could draw it in the dirt for all that matters.
Yeah, and you can't press the guy because he's going to run by you, you know, out of the backfield. I imagine just finding ways to get him in space. You know, if you can get that guy in space, let him get cranked up, then it's going to be 6 points.
What does that do, just for example, what does it do if he clears out an area with just his speed and gets the safety's attention? What does that enable you to do with your wide outs or your tight ends in the middle of the field or clear outs like that when they have to respect his speed?
Well, with anything in coverage and running through zones, it's all about, you know, space management, creating space, getting guys into windows at different times. So at times up with your footwork, so you progress, first read there, the window's away. Now there's another window, guy coming underneath. But being able to take the lid off of a coverage is it's big. It's big because then you get the shots on whatever route, and guys have huge lanes to turn it up and run. So, I'm excited he's up. I know, like I said, I know he is, and I'm looking forward to getting out there and working tomorrow.
Let's go to Jay, who is up next with Josh Freeman. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, what's going on, man? I'm calling. I got to see what's going on. I'm liking Josh Freeman the last 3 years, but this shit, like, he's throwing everything away, man. You got to be mobile. Get out that pocket. You got to stop eyeing the receivers down, man. Pump fake. We don't pump fake here in Tampa. We got the pump fake. You got to get the receivers, the safeties to bite up and hold off for a minute, man.
That's a good point.
Huh?
I said,
you're
no,
calling back from us earlier today, aren't you, Jay?
Yeah.
Under
yeah.
a different name. Yeah.
No, that's a good point. You know, pump fakes are part of the game. Pump faked a couple times. But I mean, as far as running, you know, it's My job is to throw the ball.
your job is to throw the ball.
Yeah.
What do you think about guys that call you a one read quarterback, Josh?
I mean, I don't really pay him any mind, honestly. You know,
I know this for a fact. You don't pay it any mind. People say, "Oh, how can he not know?" You know, you don't. You do. You know what you know, and you don't listen to the noise, do you?
No, I mean it's giving Alan Barrett fits back here because he's trying to keep me updated on everything going on, and I'm just so oblivious. It's
they
great.
Got Alan sitting next to you now. Did you know about Noble being waived? Of course not.
Well, no, I saw him earlier today.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
That's the only. Otherwise, I would have been.
Say hi to Alan for me, would you?
Yeah. Steve says what's up.
All right. Let's. But I mean, I think people see what they want to see, Josh. You know, is your just be, if your head, your eyes moving across the field, even though your head may not be.
No question.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta. I pull up. I mean, it's. I just, like I said, I don't pay any mind. But just, I guess, pull up the film, watch, because I mean, I really.
Well, actually, I do. Coach's film. I can get up now, and I do sit there and watch, and I do chart the plays, and I do see that they had 13 straight runs on first down, and 11 dropbacks of third and six or more. So it's fun to actually get the coach's film and look at it just the way you look at it, just the way coach looks at it and the general manager looks at it. I mean, I may not know the play call, and I'm not saying I do, because Belichick ripped off on some people, you know, that think they know the play call. They don't. And I don't pretend to know, but I can see what unfolds. And that's a huge difference to see what actually went on and what people think they saw on their TV without running back anything, you know?
Yeah, well, with anything, it all happens in seconds. And it's totally different, like, on the field, game action, when you're aware of the strategy and the strategy going on. But, yeah, nobody outside of the guys on the field and the guys on the sideline know what the play is.
Right.
You know, it's... there are plays where, you know, you got to get the ball out of your hands quick, or it's a pass to the back, or it's a go ball. And that's the first read. You know, you're not going to throw the ball without looking at the receiver first.
And the receiver and the defender determine where you go with the ball. So you can call something, and if somebody's doing something different, then you have to go somewhere else, right? So it's...
Yeah.
How many different options do you have on a play call? I know John Gruden used to give him three options on a play call. How many do you have?
It depends on the play. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll have plays with an alert and plays with that. Sometimes it's you get a bad box count, or you get a blitz, or you get there's it all really depends on the play. You know, some plays it's call it and run it, and if you got answers for really anything, they're going to throw at you. And other times, you know, they try to get us in the best possible answer with just based on film study and knowing what they like to play in certain situations, try to get us in matchups for a shot.
For the record, you can change the play if you see something at the line you don't like?
Yeah, within the parameters of our checks and audible system. You know, every week we go into a game, and there's certain looks that certain plays don't bode well with. So, it's my job as a quarterback to get us out of that.
All right. When we come back, 990 in Hillsborough, Pinellas 461. They both end in 4620. Your questions for Josh Freeman, the lines are full, so we'll get right to them when we come back. Buccaneer Total Access with Josh Freeman is brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of Tampa Bay Buccaneers, working together to improve the health of our community. All right, welcome back. It is the Josh Freeman Show. Each and every Tuesday, the quarterback steps into the pocket right here. He's not in the studios anymore. He's over there at One Buck doing his studying. And we're over here, but we'll get with him at some point. 990 in Hillsborough, Pinellas 461. They both end in 4620. We'll just leave it at that. they're all there. The 1-888-546-4620 as well. When you got your first look at the Arizona Cardinals, who's the guy you have to pay attention to there, Josh Peterson?
Yeah, they're very talented on the back end with Peterson. I think he's a guy that McNulty spent a lot of time with, and just had some stories of just his athleticism, and both of those guys, they play the ball extremely well. Up front they're good up front as well.
They are.
Starting with Dockett.
Does he do a lot? Have you ever played against him?
Yeah.
Does he do a lot of talking?
No, he really doesn't.
Really?
He doesn't. No, he's...
He does a lot of talking on Twitter.
Does he?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's interesting because you'll play different teams, different guys, but, for the most part, and him included, guys just kind of, they communicate with their guys, and they might have their little individual battles throughout the game, but, they're just out there trying to compete.
It's funny because he talks up a storm on Twitter, and then he doesn't do anything on the field. That's interesting. Jonathan is up next with Josh Freeman. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan. Hey, big dog. Josh, a couple of observations that we need to kind of keep in mind, which is we're two plays away from being 2-1, and Tampa Bay supports you and the Bucs, and so we all recognize that. My question is, you play, from my perspective, although I've never played professional football, I did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night. It seems to me that you play much better when there's like 2 minutes left in the game and you got to win the game and you're up at the line and you're calling plays and we're spreading the field and you're just going at it. And I don't understand why we don't implement that kind of system from the start of the game when you're so successful at it at the end of the game. Peyton Manning does it all day long, and there may be a day that you'll be a Peyton Manning, but at this point, looking at you, you play so much better when you just gotta, when the pressure's on and you gotta make it happen. I just don't see why we're always huddling up and running up to the line and calling a play, why we're not just going at it from the beginning, and why you don't say something to coach about it. Maybe you have, I don't know.
Well, that's a good observation, good question. At the end of the game, that's one facet of our offense, but this offense is multidimensional. If you get in a hurry up and just start throwing the ball around, it's gonna take away touches from Doug Martin. It's not gonna give our O line a chance to really grind and mash on the D line. It's just gonna be there's a number of reasons, but it's not my job to critique our system. It's my job to study as hard as I can and go out and try to execute to the best of my ability. And we talk about different things. We've hit a couple hurry up stuff early on this year, but the main thing for me is film study, learning about my opponent, and then learning about ourselves and our game plan for the week.
Do you feel that that there's less rhythm this year for some reason? And Coach Chianos keeps saying, "We'll get it, we'll get it." Is it a rhythm thing?
Well, call it rhythm, call it what you want, but we're just, like I said, a fraction of, like, just a little bit off of hitting a few big plays,
right.
number of third downs, shots down the field, just a little bit off. And I made a point earlier. It's 3 points away from two wins.
So, mm-hmm.
That's how this league is. You're gonna play a lot of close games, and you might drop a couple. But we still have a lot of confidence. We know where we are. Last year, at this time, I think we were 1-2, and went into the bye week. It was the same bye week,
mm-hmm.
but went into the bye week 1-3, and came out sort of rattling off some wins, and there's nothing about this team. Nobody outside or nobody within this building doesn't think that we're gonna turn a corner, get this thing cranked up, and go on a nice run.
Yeah, well, you keep looking at it, and it's like you're like you said, 3 points, but you're two plays decisions away from being 2-1 at the very least, And you had New England on the ropes, and if a couple of catches, it's 20. You know, you're up 20-0 in the first half, or 20-3 in the first half, and you're off and running, because I think that defense would have pulled another New Orleans type defense on Brady, which they were doing in the first half, and then everything's looked at totally different, you know, as far as if they catch the ball, or you know, a play is made here or a play is made there.
Yeah, that's football, though. It's the ebb and flow of a game, momentum. You know, you just have to – I have to lock in on what we're doing and, you know, not focus on what the other team's doing. Just focus on how we can get this offense one play at a time. To execute to the best of our abilities, and you know, if we can do that and avoid some of the mistakes that we've had, and you know, we're gonna get right back to form, you know, scoring points, hitting these shots, and you know, it's weird looking back on these past 3 weeks and seeing some of the opportunities, and that's what I think gives our guys and gives me a lot of confidence. Just a little bit off.
So you're not down on yourself, because I know you better, but I know you're not. You're not down on yourself for your performance.
No. Do I like my completion percentage? No. Do I like not throwing any touchdown passes last weekend? No. I hate it. But I know that I'm capable, and this offense is capable of coming out this week and every week here on out and putting up good numbers and finding a way to win the game. You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, if you can find a way to win, you know, in my opinion, numbers go out the window. It's all about
The W.
That's what it's all about.
I keep trying to tell people that. It's about the W. Chad is up next. Good afternoon, Chad.
Hey, Josh. Hey, Big Dog. How you guys doing?
All right.
Great.
Josh, I've been following you since your days at Kansas State. I'm a big fan of yours. And don't really have a question, just a comment or two. Easiest thing to do is at 0-3 is to be negative. You know, everyone around town, you know, get rid of Freeman, get rid of Shiano, get rid of this. And just my opinion, you know, I think, you know, cheer up a little bit. You sound a little bit down on yourself, but I know you got the talent. This team is loaded with talent, and you guys get a win in Arizona this week, going into the bye week. The mood's going to be uplifted around one buck place. Everyone's going to be a little happy. And then just, you know, focus on the rest of the season. But I just want to wish you good luck this week. I know you got it. Been watching you since, you know, day one here and your days in Kansas State. So just want to say good luck to you and the guys, man.
Hey, I appreciate that. There yeah, and I'm not – I don't sound down. I don't think I sound down. I might sound a little down because I got a little congestion. Yeah, a little cold. And so it might sound a little more monotone than usual, which I don't know. That might be kind of hard to do.
You sound like Josh to me. It's just you're not down on yourself, and I think people are expecting you to be. And I wouldn't be if I were you. It's going to turn around, I hope, because this is a better team than 0-3, and you are with your record. But you are what your record is in this league. There's no way around it, right?
Yeah, and like we were saying earlier, it's all about wins and losses.
Yeah,
you can go out and. I learned this in my NFL career that early on that I can go out and play best game of my life, you know, and the other team finds a way to win. There's so many factors, but you know, the main thing, just sticking together as a team, continuing to challenge each other and get better every day, and just you know, prepare and work, you know, outwork everybody, you know, and that's there's no. There's no trick. There's nothing. There's no way around it. You just got to find a way to just outgrind people. And when you get out there on Sunday, you've already put in the work. You've already, you know, you've already done everything you need to do. Now just go do it again. You know, it's the formula is simple, but you know, it's the stuff in between that you know, guys, just you got to knuckle down and you know, start putting some wins together. And I got a lot of faith in these guys. A lot of faith. We got a lot of strong leaders on this team. We got a great coaching staff. You know, Coach Chiano gives us a great plan, a definite plan every week. And you know, and we've got the pieces.
Why are they questioning Sullivan, the media? I know you don't know that, but why are they?
I have no idea.
You guys put up record numbers last year?
Yeah, and it's...
Without really knowing the offense, and it is in the second year, and they're questioning his abilities?
No, Sully does an amazing job. He does, schemes it up, calls it up. He's the media's going to question it. I mean, anytime there's a drop off in performance from previous performances, they're gonna ask questions. You know, they're gonna try to turn the heat up, and I know Sully's, he's in the zone. You know, he's ready to go. The questions don't faze him. Nothing fazes him. You know, he's ready to go.
All right, let's go to Dexter, who is up next. Good afternoon, Dexter.
Big dog, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Yep.
Okay, Josh, good to talk to you.
What's up, Dexter?
Hey, Josh, I had two questions. I was wondering, why is it that your game is so different in the fourth quarter, especially the last 2 minutes, because you seem to be more mobile, in that fourth quarter. And I just think you're a better quarterback when you are. When you're mobile like that, I don't know what happened to that. And also,
can we distinguish? Dexter,
against the New Orleans Saints, and that fourth and three, the last, it was almost the last play of the game, and the clock was stopped. I was wondering why didn't you were allowed to either throw the ball or either give it to Doug Martin, who had 140 something yards, and you only needed 3 yards.
You're talking about going for it on fourth down against New Orleans, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and let me ask you this other question, too. Can we distinguish? You mean like a hurry-up offense as far as the fourth quarter type of thing?
A
no-huddle type offense?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
All right, good. That's got your clarification. All right, Josh.
As far as running, these teams, when they rush, they're not just rushing blindly. You know, they rush, and they rush to occupy lanes. So there's when there's a chance to run the ball, I mean, I'm gonna take it. But my eyes first and foremost are downfield. They're on my progression. They're on the defense, what coverage they're in. And if things start collapsing around me and I have a little gap, I'm gonna take off. In Saints game, I scrambled for a first down. I think Pats, I got out a little bit, but it's not a conscious effort to at the beginning of the play say I'm going to draw back and run this one.
No,
that's not the way it works. It's a combination of things.
Nor is it on RG3's mind, nor is it on Kaepernick's mind, or any mobile quarterback in this league. That's just part of making something happen after something else breaks down, right?
Yeah, it's partially coverage.
Yeah.
When teams, they play a lot of man-to-man coverage, the defenders, second level, the linebackers in the secondary, their backs are to you. And they're running, they're chasing their receiver. Nobody's got eyes on the quarterback. And sometimes teams will spy a guy, but, I could sit here and talk all night about about everything that could factor into running the ball or not. But, if the game dictates, I will run.
And that's a good thing. That's a good hint to the fans. If you see man coverage, there's a better chance of you running than not, as far as if you have to. But if there's a zone where everybody's got everything in front of them and looking at you, you're not too much chance of running as far as for distance anyway. I got to ask you, were you a little disappointed that you weren't able to because I wasn't here last week to go for and go third down and go fourth down against New Orleans and close out that game and get a first. You didn't get that. They had a special play, quote unquote, for Dougie on third and six, and it didn't work because New Orleans was ready. And did you want to in your gut want to go for it and close out that game so we're not to say Drew Brees, you're not getting back on the field?
It's really whatever it takes, I know in the past we've done it, but it's In the moment, nobody knows what's going to happen. You know, our defense had played really good, and you know, they made some plays there down the stretch. And coach decided to say, "Hey, let's attempt this field goal." And you know, I can't say that I disagree with him. You know, I think it was a good call. Unfortunately, the field goal didn't fall like we needed it to, and you know, Drew hit a couple shots, and that's a game of football. I mean, in hindsight, everybody can say, "Oh, we should have thrown it," but no, that's not. You know, I got 100% confidence and trust in coach and the decisions he's making. So,
well, I'm going to disagree with both of you. I think when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback on the other side, and you have a chance to not let him take the field. That would be my play. And he came out with a quote, and I know you don't read the papers, that he said as soon as he saw them, you guys line up for the field goal, he knew he was going to win the game. Whether he needed 4, 1, or 7, he was, you know, this, you gave him the chance, and they were going to win the game. When we come back, more of Josh Freeman, Buccaneer Total Access with Josh is brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, welcome back. 6:49 here on your Buccaneer Radio Network. Josh Freeman in the house. Let's get back to the phone lines all the way up to Charlotte, North Carolina, and go to Mike. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hey, big dog. How's it going on today, man?
All right, buddy.
Hey, how you doing, Josh?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
All right. Hey, man, I would like to take my hat off, man, the way that you're handling things down there in Tampa with all the media circus and the hoopla and the negative talk about you, the game, and all that. But what I'd like to get to is I like to know, as far as your completion rate, how much did it affect you not being able to throw in the middle of the field? I mean, of course, we don't have – I'm going to be polite about this, but we don't have a premier tight end, nor do we have a premier slot receiver. And most of your passes are, like, back shoulder throws, or else it's on, you know, on the sideline. How much does that have a lot to do with your completion rate, if any? Because it seems like you're not using the biggest part of the field, which is the middle, and everyone knows that a tight end is a quarterback's best friend.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. Hadn't necessarily thought of that. You know, each
Eric
throw...
Decker and Wes Welker. Yeah.
No, every throw is you know, it's either thrown. Oh, if it's not thrown to be completed, it's a throwaway or. Thrown into the ground, but you know, as far as shots on the field, I mean, you don't think about that when you're dropping back. It's okay. Well, let me work the middle of the field this time. It's everything. There's really a standard operating procedure as far as dropping back, assessing the defense, picking where to go, where to start your progression, and then you know, it's kind of live from there. Where like,
doesn't Vincent take care of a lot of that work?
Yeah, Vince does work.
He does a lot of the dirty work over the middle, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's Vincent's multidimensional. He can do it all,
which he never did in San Diego, which basically lit up a lot of people's eyes when he came to Tampa. That his ability to go across the middle, he was just Phillip Rivers, rear back and throw it, and just go outrun everybody. But he's got, you know, he's having a little problems hanging on to it early season, but. A lot of people, once they get football shape, they'll get better. Charles in Largo is up next. Good afternoon, Charles.
Hey, guys. Josh, I'm a big fan.
Thanks, man.
I think you got all the intrinsic. My question is about the intermediate passing game. Seems like we kind of struggle there. And is that because of lack of a tight end or scheme, or what do you think that is?
What's intermediate to you?
Yeah,
I'm talking 5-6 yards.
5-6 yards.
Because we seem to complete a lot more passes for.
That's short passing game, isn't it, Josh?
Yeah,
5-6.
I mean, it's pretty short.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean, like right, slants, out routes? I'm trying to think. Could you give me some specific? I mean, this past week.
It just seems like we complete a lot more passes for 10 or more yards than we do when we like need 5 or 6 yards.
What?
No, I think I know what he's saying. I think he's saying just as far as when you only need 5 or 6 yards,
getting 5 or 6 yards, you know, with some shorter passes. And when you do attempt the shorter passes, hitting them. And, I mean, we converted, I'm trying to think, Mike Williams caught an out route on a short one. Timmy caught an out route.
Your third down, I can tell you, because I got the playbook in front of me. I do.
Oh, man.
You're not going to sneak nothing. No, your third and shorts, you completed in this game, okay? Your third and shorts, you completed. Maybe second and shorts, you didn't on some passes due to drops or whatever. But your third and shorts, you completed. You did throw it. Out of 38 times down the field, 21 times over 10 yards. So, but those were designed, right? I mean, that's medium. At the intermediate to long is what in your mind, Josh?
You know, intermediate to long would be, you know, the range 10, 12 yards all the way up to
16, infinity, 18. Right?
Yeah, and you talk about long, the shots. Yeah,
yeah, the shots. Yeah.
So, yeah, 45, 50 yards.
Shorts are, you know, again, too, it's tough to – in this league, and I used to hear Gruden harp about it all the time, and I'm sure Schiano does too. If you're behind the chains in this league on third down, it's really tough to pick up third downs in the NFL. They'll give you the short. They'll give you underneath. But they ain't going to let you – they're going to tackle you before you hit the chains. Every defense in the world knows where the chains are on third and long. Don't they?
I'd certainly hope so.
Yeah, they do. So how difficult is it to complete third and long in this league?
Well, the numbers
speak for themselves, right?
Yeah, they show a clear picture. You know, third and short, really third and one, I think it was in 60s. Then, I mean, dropped all the way down. Once you get to 10-plus, I mean, it's low teens.
Low teens. There you go. I mean, it's not rocket science. Let's go to Steve in St. Pete. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hello?
Yep, you're up.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Wanted to get into you last week, Josh, and ask you about whether or not we had in our playbook some routes to get Dougie on a fly, like a 24B fly, ISO him up against a linebacker, and I actually saw it twice this week. Both well-thrown balls, the guy just made a play on it, but it's good to see that. So they are running quite a bit of man.
My question, and I'll hang up and listen.
You can't hang up and listen. Yeah, Josh has a question for you.
Do you play quarterback?
Josh has.
I consider 15 yard out.
Josh has a question. Hey, Josh has a question for you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, well, I was just asking about you. You spit that play out pretty good, man. You ever play quarterback?
In high school, whatnot. But I love X's and O's and play NFL strategy all the time, and I just.
What is NFL strategy, Madden?
Well. I'm sorry?
Is NFL strategy Madden?
No. NFL strategy is an old two-door game where you basically have plays on offense and defense, and you overlay them.
Oh,
everybody's
cool.
The same.
Okay.
Your defense against theirs. So, 84 boys shoot against a zone, you're going for 25 because you're hitting the seam, that type of thing.
But nice.
Nice.
At any rate, getting back to some of the out patterns that we ran, I was curious if these were, and these were intermediate, in my opinion, about 15 yards and, you know, we're squaring out. If that was actually, you know, like a design square out or an option, because it looked like the ball was getting there a little bit late. And when that happens, you know, the receiver's got to, wait for it, which gives the defender a chance to jump the route. Or, you know, is that a timing thing or is it possible?
Less than a minute. Less than a minute, Josh. Less than a minute.
That's a good question. You know, they were playing kind of a trail technique. So it was, I mean, until the guy broke, the corners were jumping. And, I mean, we won a few of them. They jumped a few of them. But it's something we're going to continue to improve on. You know, I'm fired up and ready to get started on this week. You know, try to go out and get a win this week.
All
before
right.
The bye.
We got less than 30 seconds. Josh, get a win against Arizona, all right?
Steve, I'm right there with you,
see
man.
See you, brother.
I'll see you.
Talk to you next week. Yep. All right, for the Buccaneers.